Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hellman.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for listening to AIR. I'm your host, Jennifer Hellman, intuitive life coach, author, and dance student. Tonight is a pre-recorded show about a form of creative expression that has caught the fancy of many people these days. Ballroom dancing is everywhere now, and it's been part of history for centuries. Today's guest has been dancing and teaching for more than 30 years, leaving an engineer career behind. Paul Jack is teaching ballroom dance now at Arrowhead Ballroom in Glendale, Arizona, and is the co-sponsor of the Galaxy Dance Competition coming up in the Phoenix area, September 12th through the 14th. For more information about that, you can go to www.galaxy-dance.com. Welcome, Paul, to the show.
Thank you.
Engineering to dance, that's quite a switch.
Yes.
How did you get interested in ballroom dance?
Well, actually, I got drug into it by a woman. I went to be a partner with someone, and I'd never danced before. And I thought this was a great opportunity to get me away from my high-stress job in Silicon Valley in California. And my partner decided she didn't want to dance, and everybody got up to leave the room. And I said, no, I want to dance. And so that was the last I saw her, but I continued on dancing.
Wonderful. So is there a favorite dance that you have, or is it a specialty? Because there is many styles of dance. I mean, do you do international or both?
Correct. Yeah, I do both styles. There's so many different dances and expressions within each one of them, but I have kind of contradicting favorite dances. I love very slow foxtrot, but also love the very fast salsa and mambo.
The fun stuff.
Yes.
So why don't we go over some of the basic ideas of what ballroom dance is, the American and the international, so we can let the audience know exactly what ballroom consists of. Okay. So there's the American smooth, and that consists of what dances?
That's the foxtrot, the tango, the waltz, the Viennese waltz, and some people also do the Peabody.
Okay. And then there's the American rhythm.
Right.
Which is the rumba, the cha-cha.
Swing, both East Coast swing and West Coast swing. Mambo, salsa, bolero, hustle, nightclub two-step. There's many different dances there.
Right. Now, is there major differences between the international standards versus the American?
Very much so. It's a total different technique, tempo of music, the steps are different, the elements are different. The general idea is the same, is that you're trying to move gracefully across and around the room, but the steps are totally different. And a lot of times ladies will say, gosh, I thought I knew how to foxtrot, and this guy asked me how to dance a foxtrot, and I couldn't do it with him. And, well, she was doing American style, and he was doing international style.
Okay, so there really is, and it is available to learn both styles, correct?
Yeah.
In most dance rooms. I, just so the audience know, I am taking dance right now in Tucson, and I'm at the Arizona Ballroom Company down in Tucson, the Arizona Ballroom, Company, and I really am loving the people down there. They're very great at what they do, so, and it really, like you, I needed to get out of what I was doing and needed a break, and dance was the way I went. Plus, I didn't want to go to the gym, and dance is great exercise. You agree?
It really is. I've seen people lose a lot of weight doing it, but it also relieves stress. That was the main thing that I was starting to get into, is that I was working 15, 16-hour days at my engineering job, being a young, idealistic engineer right out of college, and I was just working my way into early ulcers, and this was my way to relax and have some good time, and it I couldn't get enough of it. One lesson a week started turning into two a week, into three a week, into four a week, into I couldn't stand not being in the studio, so I pestered the owners to become a teacher.
So it really does get kind of obsessive, doesn't it? Because it is so enjoyable.
It's just like,
you know, it's just like work. Why would I want to work?
Like,
I just want to dance.
Well,
so what other benefits are there to dance?
Well, first of all,
what'd you say?
Do it for accomplishment, just as something different. Not everybody does this, but it's so popular right now. And it's not that it's got popular, it's always been popular. It just has much more visibility now with the media exposure. But studios have been very successful for many, many years. Actually, some of the chain schools got started back in the Depression era because people wanted to take their mind off what was going on around them, and dancing was a great way to do that.
So Fred Astaire's dance studio comes to mind immediately. I don't know when he started it, but it is a very popular.
It was a little bit later. I believe it was the Arthur Murray Studios that got started.
Ah, yes. So you've mentioned that it's in the media. Do you think that's increased people going out and learning ballroom dance at all?
To some extent, what we've seen is a growth of younger children coming into it now than we've seen before. It's been quite a spurt for kids, say, 14, 13, 12, and younger to get involved with it. Their parents are getting them involved in it. And you're seeing more schools offer it as an elective and things like that also. So that's where we're seeing it most. There was quite a bump when Dancing with the Stars and things like that first started. There was quite a bump from it. It's kind of leveled off in terms of the adults, but with the young kids is where we see the big jump.
Now, with the kids, what are the benefits for them besides not getting involved with gangs?
Well, it's an activity just like anything, like soccer or baseball, but I think with ballroom also, they also learn some etiquette, which I think is lacking in today's society, where they actually learn some social grace, where they're able to interact with people older than them as well as younger than them.
Yes, and I mean, as one of the dance teachers told one of the young students at one of the classes, you know, it's a great way to meet women. And you learned how to treat women.
Yes.
So this guy was just, he's kind of awkward, and this is one reason why he's getting into dance, is to know how to act in front of girls. So
yeah.
It's kind of flattering to them. So kids are getting more into it. Do you think they're doing it only because of the show and they think it's cool, or do you think the parents think, well, that's a really good idea for my kid to get into because it's less violent than football and baseball? There's less injuries probably with dance than there is in other sports. Do
right,
you think that's part of it?
It's part of it, but most kids that I see do all of it. It's like E, all of the above. They're doing ballroom dancing, they're doing soccer, they're doing baseball, they're doing football. I see these kids as being motivated kids that are trying to get even more into their life is what I'm seeing, because they don't do just ballroom dancing. Most of the kids that I see are very active in their school functions as well as sports of all kinds.
Because it does help with coordination.
Yeah. Oh, yes, definitely. Motor skills, everything.
And that's one thing for me, is it's challenged my brain to think in a different way and in a positive way. But it's getting the feet in the right position and moving gracefully across. Sometimes the footwork is kind of interesting at times. Is there, you know, anything that you really want to stress with dance that makes you really just sing its praises?
Well, to me, I've seen people make 180-degree changes, that they've come into the school as introverts and shy, timid people, and because of ballroom dancing, maybe it's brought them out of their shell and things like that. But I've seen all kinds of metamorphosis happen in the ballroom, whether it's becoming more assertive or just looking to achieve something. I see all kinds of things happening with people to the positive. But it also takes a teacher that understands that teaching is more than just hammering on somebody. And a teacher needs to understand that just one wrong placed word can just destroy someone. So you have a very important job. It's not just a job, it's a career, and you need to look at it that way, and you have a big impact on people's lives, and so you have to measure your words at times.
So is it challenging to, but you need to, the teacher really needs to understand who and what the person is about and also what their goals are with
and
dance.
Everyone learns differently. And to me, you can't teach everybody the same. Some people will react to words. Some will react to numbers. Some people will react to sound. So you have to find what works with the student that you're working with.
And do you find that there's more women coming into it, more men, or is it pretty balanced?
Generally, there's more women is what we see. It varies in different areas, but that's what I've seen over the course of being in. I used to own a studio for 15 years in California and sold that business to come here to Arizona, and it was that way in California, and it seems like it's pretty much that way here in Arizona also. I also teach some group classes through the city of Peoria, through their Parks and Recreation Department, and generally if they're not in couples already, we have more ladies coming in for the classes than we do men.
Let's just put a call out there. Guys, it's a lot of fun. Go for it. In fact, I am really stressing my clients in my life coaching for them to go to dance if they're having troubles relating to people. I'm actually recommending that they look for dance classes because I think it's a really positive way to really understand yourself more and also interact with other people.
Sure. There's all kinds of ways to get involved, whether it's group classes, private lessons, or a lot of cities offer dancing through their parks and recreation. That's a good way to get exposed to it.
And it's less expensive. That's the one thing that detours, I think, a lot of people is the expense. But I have to say it's well worth every penny. The instructors earn every cent. And it has helped me tremendously in a lot of ways. And it's a lot more fun than going to the gym and lifting weights.
Definitely.
And that's one reason why I really did this. Now, there is a lot of people that just want to go for fun, not for competition. Do you feel that a lot of people are trying to pressure, and this is a deterrent to some people for going for the ballroom dancing, is because they feel like they're going to be pressured into competing? Do you feel that a lot of people are feeling that way about the studio system?
I think that's what they think all studios do, and there's all types of opportunities to people within studios. You don't have to be a competitive student. That's what we call a social dancer. Studios are thrilled to have social dancers involved with them. But there's all kinds of things available in a studio, but just because they offer it doesn't mean you have to buy it.
Right, definitely. And there is a lot of competitions in Arizona. I was amazed that there's pretty big ones coming up, yours and then another one in December.
Right, yeah. So there's two in what we call NDCA, which are nationally sanctioned bodies. Those events are in May and September, our comp. And then there's another independent comp in December. And there was also a small comp just recently also. So, yeah, there are some different local comps that go on throughout the year. And everybody just needs to address. I was a brand-new student. I had, I think, three lessons when I signed up for my first competition because I'd always been an athlete all through high school and college as well as playing music. So I figured, well, if I'm going to do this, I need to be pushed. So I'm going to go ahead and do a competition because I want to learn faster. I want to accelerate my learning. And so, yeah, I might have paid a little bit more in the beginning, but I felt like I learned faster because I was challenging myself and pushing myself to learn rather than just coming in on a social basis.
So everybody's different. And do you think that most people, it's just say, would you suggest people go check out like a group lesson first to see if they like the environment and what it's about? Or like you said, the park and rec. And then see if they want to continue on? Is that probably the best way to really get started with this?
It's a good way to try. Sometimes group classes can be frustrating for people because the teacher can only give you so much attention in the class, and then at some point you're going to be kind of left on your own because if you've got a class of 40 people, I can't spend the whole lesson helping one person get ready. I'm responsible for an entire class.
Right.
Well, if they're struggling in the beginning, group classes can be frustrating. So I always tell people it's good to have a combination. You need to have group classes, but you need to be able to take your problems that you have in the group classes to a private lesson. And that's where you get everything sorted out. And that's where you really get things working to the best, and you get exposed to more material faster, is by using your group classes and then going to your private lesson coaches to get things straightened out.
So this has been, dance has been around a long time.
Yes.
Can you tell a little bit more about the history of dance? And I know you mentioned that the dance studios really kind of started in the Depression. Some of them did. But this has been going on for centuries. And really, the privileged were the ones that did the ballroom dancing at first.
Correct, yes. And there was a lot of morals, issues that came into play, you know, over the centuries. They did certain things because of the societal pressures at the time. So it's kind of gone through an evolution to get into the partner dancing. But it all started back to, like, the courts in Europe and stuff, where they danced just basically touching hands. And slowly, and over the years and decades, became more of a partner type of dance, which is what really got started in the 20th century.
And continues on. And then the movies with Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers really pushed the ballroom dancing quite a bit.
It's incredible, because you walk into any studio today and you still see pictures of Fred Astaire on the wall. I mean, the man was just a genius. And
yeah.
They talk of all the other dancers back in that area, but you don't walk into any studio and see Gene Kelly on the wall or Donald O'Connor. You see Fred Astaire.
Yes, but I have to admit, I really like Gene Kelly. I do. I mean, Fred Astaire is great.
Vera Ellen was my favorite.
Who was your favorite?
Vera Ellen.
Ah, yes. Yes. The dancers back then were just magnificent. And
they were so talented. They could sing, they could dance, they could act, they could do everything.
Yes. I still think they should bring back the studio system that they had back then, because they really, really emphasized the talent everybody had.
And
I think it makes a difference. They have, I think, a little less ego and a little more talent.
I don't think there was ever a shortage of ego.
No, that's true. That's true. So the history of it, did that intrigue you to, say, maybe get into it? Or were you a big movie dance fan when you saw the movies like Fred Astaire? Did you say, I really want to try that out? Or did the invitation by this woman just got you intrigued and you went for it?
I got intrigued. I had played music, but I'd never danced. In fact, when I went many years ago to my 30th high school reunion and everybody heard that I was a ballroom dance teacher, they said, "You're kidding. You were the biggest klutz all through high school. There is no way you could be a dancer." They didn't believe me that I was a ballroom dance instructor. It was just basically a personal challenge for me. They taught me a dance when I first came in that was a number one hit on the radio at that time. It was Earth, Wind, and Fire's September. And it was
great song.
They taught me cha-cha to that song, and that was like, wow, if I can dance to this kind of music, where do I sign up? And I just danced because I loved the music, and I danced to music that I enjoyed, and I had a great time, and that's what kept me involved.
And it's interesting, today's dance, do you think today's dance is just a different style, like the hip-hop? Do you see more people getting more interested in dancing that versus ballroom? Or do you think it's a combination of, it's all wonderful to learn both and experience it all?
I get calls all the time for people wanting to learn hip-hop, people wanting to learn ballet, people wanting to use jazz as well as ballroom dancing. It's just incredible, the phenomenal interest in dance and artistic expression that I'm seeing nowadays. So it's not just ballroom dancing. Any type of dance right now seems like it's very popular. Teenagers as well as adults.
Yes. Now you mentioned
that word different.
On.
That's an excellent word. Just saying that it's a different expression. Some people say, "Oh, that's off. That's not dancing." Yes, it is dancing. It's just a different form of dancing. It's not right or wrong. It's different. That's all it is. And dancing is your own expression.
Mm-hmm.
They may not like the music, but it's dancing.
Right. And everybody, you know, for me, I don't hear the music, I feel the music.
Uh-huh.
So when I dance, it's like the music becomes part of me, and that's what moves me. And my teacher, John, realized that early on. And that's the way he goes, all right, close your eyes, feel the music, and then we just start then. But everybody, it is an expression, and it's a wonderful, graceful way of dancing.
What I find too is most people don't know what part of the music to dance to. It's like I tell my students when they first get started, the easy part of the music to hear, like the singer, the lead trumpets, the guitars, and all that kind of stuff, you don't dance to that. You dance to the drummer in the background.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes you tap your toe. That's what you dance to. But a lot of times people don't know what part of the music to dance to.
And everybody's different. Do you emphasize the count?
Yes. Yes, because I do a lot of traveling around the United States, and I do a lot of master of ceremonies at the dance competitions. See, I see all types of dancing, from newcomers to open championship level and professional level and stuff like that. And so I see all kinds of dancing, and one of the biggest things is if you're off time, it's kind of like fingernails on a chalkboard. It's just grating to any professional to see somebody having to dance off time. I'm sure it is.
So you travel around. Do you see some areas having more dancers than others? Are quality of dance different in different areas? Or because of the standards is everywhere?
It's pretty much everywhere. Granted, the coasts, both East and West Coast, have some bigger cities in them and things like that. But there's huge competitions in the Midwest as well as the East Coast. I go to Florida 7 times a year to MC different competitions in the state of Florida. And the last comp I was at had 6,000 entries in a 3-day period. So.
How many are in the one in Arizona coming up actually this weekend? By the time this broadcast, it will be the next day because this is September 11th. So how many people are entered in this competition?
We have 3,000 entries, so it's probably about 150 people.
Wow. That's amazing. It's a lot of dancing. I'm looking forward. I'm going to be coming up and watching the competition, so I look forward to seeing it.
Yeah.
So with the competition, is there a style? Generally people have to do 6 dances, or can they pick individual dances and that's it?
You can pick individual dances. You can dance 1 dance or 100 dances if you want. You know, because you can dance multiple levels, because first of all, there's learning levels like newcomer, bronze 1, bronze 2, silver 1, silver 2. So you have levels of accomplishment, and then you also have different age brackets. So you can dance in different age brackets as well as levels of accomplishment.
So when you go in the different levels, it goes by the student, not the teacher, correct?
Correct, correct. And you don't want a newcomer dancing against somebody that's an open championship level. So the newcomers dance against the newcomers, and the bronze students dance against the bronze students.
So what are some of the standard rules in dance? Or can you explain what the competition is about or what it's like?
Well, we offer different dances within the different styles, like you were saying, the American and the international style, and those dances are offered at those levels, and then we have the age brackets. So the teacher sits down with the student, and you can enter in an age bracket younger than yourself as well as your normal age bracket. And so students can dance as many or as a lot of entries or a few entries that they want. It just depends on what works out for them financially as well as experience-wise.
Now, talking about financial, the higher the levels, the more cost there is, correct?
No. Again, it just comes down, whether you're dancing championship level or newcomer level, the entry fee is still the same. It's just a matter of, what you have to do to get to the competition. Do you have to fly there? Do you have to stay
right?
No. All those kind of things play into it because of having the expenses to pay.
Right. Well, I was thinking about the costumes. If you're more of a upper level, you're more within the rules. You're supposed to have like a costume, which if you're a newcomer, they're a little more easygoing on that.
Correct. Yeah, at the Open Championship level, you're dancing in full-blown costumes like you see on Dancing with the Stars, whereas newcomers can get away with, you know, cocktail dresses or the guys in just vest and tie and stuff like that.
Okay. And that's what I meant by the added expense, because for me, I mean, that was one reason that I said, I don't know about competition, because I was thinking of the expense of doing it. And I think that is a big deterrent for some people.
I know from most of my ladies, they always have a dress laying around somewhere that they'd love to sell. So that's not, if you're thinking about doing competition, you can always check within your studio if anybody has a dress to sell. You know, there's always ladies looking to sell dresses. That's a good way to get started, too, rather than going out and buying a brand-new dress every time.
Right, right. So what is one thing that you would say about dance that has changed your life?
It's given me a whole different self-confidence about myself. I'd never been able to dance before, and to think of putting myself out on the floor dancing in front of, you know, hundreds of people, I never would have thought of putting myself there. I've played music in front of people, but I never have been able to perform to that extent, where I was dancing and to have my whole family there as well as all my friends and all that stuff. That's what really, really did. But as I said initially, I always turn more ladies into alcoholics and send them to the bathroom at parties than anyone, because that nobody ever wanted to dance with me at a dance when I first got started, because I was terrible. But I was bound and determined to learn this stuff.
So at that 30-year reunion, did you take a spin on the dance floor and surprise everybody?
We did surprise them a little bit, yes. They were quite shocked that I was a dancer. Like I said, they thought I was the biggest klutz all through high school.
It just proves that people can change. Definitely. And dance is, I have to admit, my self-confidence and focus and everything is much stronger now since I started dance.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Keeps the brain alive. Keeps the brain active.
Or brings it back to life. It really, there's so many people that I know that part of their brain is just falling asleep because they're just getting that routine. Just doing the job, doing what they have to do, and dance just really wakes them up, and it is a great way of expression. And getting things moving up there again, because it does work, several parts of the brain, wouldn't you say?
Uh-huh.
It kind of balances the brain, because you have to be creative on the right side, but you got to know what you're doing on the left side, so it really balances things off.
Coming from an engineering background like myself, I'm working both sides of it.
Yeah. Yeah, so the structure and the strategy of it all. So are you regretting leaving the engineering field?
Not ever. Not ever. I have not missed it at all.
Excellent.
It's really fun because when I still had my studio in California, I went to NASA Ames Research Center, and they actually have a ballroom dance club at NASA Ames Research Center in Mountain View, California. And I used to go out there and teach them, and I just had a blast because I always used to tell them, look, this is not rocket science. And so for NASA research, that really hit the spot. But they did great. They did great. Because when you tell an engineer to turn 90 degrees, they turn exactly 90 degrees, you know. So.
Right. Definitely. Do you have any favorite stories about either a favorite experience you've had with dance or with a student that you just really saw blossom, or anything that you find very inspirational that you would like to talk about right now?
Probably just some very personal things where my top competitive student unfortunately died a couple years ago from bone cancer. And in one of her last times when she still couldn't dance, she showed up at a competition and was just in the audience, and I took her out on the floor to dance one time, and we just glided around the room, and it was like some of the finest dancing she'd ever done. And when she sat down, she said, that was just heaven. And that's always been a very special moment to me, because she was gone in about 6 months after that.
Oh, wow.
It was such a touching thing to have her say that. And she's still very special. She's a very motivating lady. She was like one of the first female bank presidents in California. So she's a very sharp, very strong-willed lady. And so for her to say something really soft and tender like that to me was wonderful.
Yes. Yes. So how many students have you taught?
Oh, geez.
I don't know, over the course of 30 years, it's
thousands?
And somewhere around there, I guess.
And how many competitions have you been part of?
Oh, gosh, you know, they all start running together. I can't even count them. I mean, basically, there's especially during the summer months when the weather's good, there's basically 2 to 3 comps almost every weekend somewhere in the United States.
Well, that will keep you busy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So do you do judging, or what else do you do with the competitions besides the sponsorship?
Well, I do the emceeing at a lot of competitions. That's a very responsible position in that you're responsible for staying on time and keeping control of the competition, that you see everything is flowing properly and that we're not getting behind schedule. But at the same time, I've developed a reputation of looking after everybody and not just running them into the ground so they don't feel like they're just another entry out on the floor, but that the competition is concerned about them. Everybody says, when are you going to become a judge? And I haven't had a real stirring until just recently about becoming a judge. I've really enjoyed being an MC, and there's a lot of pressure on being a judge, but I'm starting to look into getting my credentials of being a judge.
And what exactly do you need to do to get credentials?
You have to take tests. You have to pass tests.
And now, are most of the judges former dancers?
Oh, most of them. Yeah, most of them are former U.S. champions or world champions.
Now, how many judges are there usually in a competition? I mean, I think you have like 9 or 10.
We
have one coming up.
Of 11, actually.
11.
Between some of our other officials also are going to be judges. So I think we have 11 total. But like at U.S. championships, gosh, they'll have a whole page of judges just because they have so many events going on. So it depends on the size of the competition, how many judges, but generally you have to have a minimum of at least 7 at a competition. And then
excellent.
Different divisions have different requirements. Like the pro divisions, you've got all the judges out there. A lot of the freestyle events during the day, you just have three judges out there. But it's only 3 on the floor at one time.
Okay. So if somebody is really beginning to be interested, where is the best place to find a studio? Should they go online to check out some of the organizations, like the National Dance Council? Do they have places, studios that are associated with them? Or where is a good place to figure that out?
A lot of times you can do almost like a Google search and just say Ballroom Dancing Tucson. That's the way I've had a lot of students come to me, is they type in their area of town, they say Ballroom Dancing Glendale. And my name will pop up a lot of times. That's
right.
How I've got a lot of new students. So you can do that, or just go to the yellow pages and find first of all somewhere that's close and convenient for you. If it's a long drive, you're going to have reservations about taking lessons. So you want it to be relatively close to you.
Yes, mine's like 7 minutes away. It's really close.
Okay.
And I got started by a friend's recommendation. By just checking out one of the group lessons.
Uh-huh.
And they offered a special introduction deal. And it got me hooked.
Okay.
So there are introduction deals available at some of the studios, and it really does make a difference. I think it was like 2 private lessons and a group lesson for like $15-$20. And
it was a
good deal. And it definitely gets you hooked.
Yeah, a lot of the free ones will be good, but always remember there's going to be some sales come into there somewhere, so be prepared.
Oh, of course. Of course. They got to pay their bills.
They're just sticking the candy out there to get you into that kind of thing.
Definitely. But it works.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's how I got into it. So
you went for one of the introduction. You went to a group lesson and then got one of the introduction deals, and then just got hooked, and now you're a teacher.
That's it.
Talk about getting credentials for being a teacher. How difficult? I mean, is there certain hours that you need to do to get that? Do you need to really perfect all the dances?
Well, most of the studios will train their staff. So if it's something that you're interested in, most studios will offer teacher training classes.
where they will actually train you in the dances as well as how to teach them, because that's two different things. Knowing how to dance and knowing how to teach are two different things.
Yes.
Just because somebody's a great dancer doesn't necessarily mean they're a great teacher. And also there's a dance teacher training college. I believe they've just opened one in Phoenix. I believe it's headed up by Chad Lackerty, but it's to train teachers and certify them as trained ballroom teachers.
And how long do you think that program is?
You know, I don't know, because this college has just recently started. It was started by a girl named Diane Jarmalo in San Francisco, and it's now centered, I believe, in Las Vegas, but she's expanded it to numerous cities around the United States, and like I said, the Phoenix area just recently opened this past year.
Now, Vegas is a big place for dance as well, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Uh-huh. There's a lot of competitions there and more studios opening up there now.
It's a growing area, and there's a lot of different variety of dances there as well.
Uh-huh. Yeah. There's all kinds. There's a requirements of modern dance with all the big shows in town. There is some ballroom requirements, but most of them are looking for ballet and modern type dancers.
So if somebody is interested in dance, they really should go to the studio that's closest to them and see if they have a teaching program there.
Well, it's a good way to get started, but also at the same time, you need to see how you feel there. And if it doesn't feel right, then I would say move on to the next one.
You do need to be comfortable with the instructors that will be teaching you.
There needs to be some type of a connection there.
Yes. Is there anything else that you think people should, besides the connection, is there anything else that people should really look out for when they're going for dance lessons?
Always just ask yourself, how do you feel before you go in for a lesson? If you're sitting at home going, oh, man, I really don't want to go to this lesson, that's probably not the studio for you. If
mm-hmm.
you're at home going, oh, I can't wait to get into that studio, I got a lesson today, that you're doing good then. You're in a place that you belong. But if you could take it or leave it, you need to move on down the road. Something's not connecting for you.
And that really is a big part of it, isn't it?
It is. It is. It should be a motivating experience. It should be a fun experience. You shouldn't feel like you're being beat down.
Now, at least at the studio that I go to, the Arizona Ballroom, they actually rent out for the West Coast dance.
Uh-huh.
And do you see little companies that specialize in dances really popping up all over the place?
Well, there's always teachers that will specialize in certain dance, especially like kind of West Coast swing, salsa, mambo, hustle, nightclub, two-step. Those are kind of like niche dances where not all the studios will teach them or have predominant teachers in them, where teachers can offer special classes in these and get good attendance at them. And so a lot of people have these what I call niche classes for niche dances type of thing.
And it is, I have to admit, to see that they were still teaching the hustle, I chuckled, because I really didn't think that dance was still around.
Oh, man, it's one of my favorites. Hey, I wanted a white suit like John Travolta back in, you know, Saturday Night Fever. I was all ready, and then I learned Foxtrot. What the heck was that, you know?
Yeah, that's something quite different. But did the disco era really inspire you to do more dance?
Oh, yeah. You know, I was a young single guy back then, and so I was going out dancing, you know, in the disco era. So that was the one thing I would do, was go dance in a nightclub type thing, but it wasn't partner dancing. So
right.
Dancing was a whole new experience for me.
Do you prefer doing the partner versus just dancing?
Oh, yeah. I'm no good out there on my own.
You need someone with you to make you look good, right?
Yeah. They always say the man's the frame, the lady's the picture.
Yes. Now, you are co-organizers with Judy Dixon. Is she also a dancer?
Yes, she is. She's my wife.
Yes. Now, is she your partner when you go out in competitions, or do you have somebody else that you tend to dance with for competitions?
I dance with Judy in competition. Judy is still an amateur, so she's still classified as a student. She's not a professional. So I still dance with her in competitions along with other students. In fact, in June, I went to San Diego. I had four students dancing in that competition in San Diego.
Excellent. And how did you do?
We did really well. I was very proud of my students.
Excellent. So you can't say how many competitions you actually participate in, can you?
I've lost count over the years, but probably between the emceeing and dancing each year, I probably go to 15 or 16 comps a year. I'm sorry, I always say comps. Comps is our vernacular.
Competitions.
Competitions, yeah.
That's fine. So do you prefer, do you look forward to competing?
Excuse me?
Do you like competing? Do you like doing the competitions yourself?
I enjoy it, yeah. I'm not as young as I used to be, but I can still get out there and make my students look good, and my students make me look good, and we opened some eyes when we went to San Diego, so I hadn't been out on the floor in a while. So a lot of my friends go, wow, you're still doing this? I go, oh, yeah. And then they were very impressed with my students.
Excellent. So how long has Judy been dancing then?
She's been dancing ballroom, probably about 7 years, 6 or 7 years. When I first met her, she was a country western dancer. She did ballroom dancing. So this ballroom dancing stuff is brand new to her.
Mm-hmm.
But she was doing the country western stuff.
So, once you know one dance, I mean, a lot of the other dances is just maybe slightly different footwork, but a lot of the things are the same, don't you think?
Movement is movement, whether you're going forward, back, or sideways. I mean, you can only move so many directions, right?
Right. There basically, isn't there like 6 or 7 basic dances and then variations from it?
Pretty much, yeah. That's what I'd say. I usually break them down into like groups of dances where you have walking dances, box steps, and triple steps. And basically everything comes out of one of those three.
Now, box step is like probably the foxtrot and the, no, that would be the rumba and the waltz?
And the waltz, initially. Later on in foxtrot, you use box timing, yeah.
And what about the other ones? Where would they classify? The triple step is like an East Coast swing.
It's like East Coast swing and cha-cha. Both use triple steps. And then the walking dances are like the Peabody and the foxtrot and the tango and the quick step.
So with this, do you feel like, do people tend to be better at one dance style? Like for me, give me rhythm and I'm a happy girl. Do you think that most people are like that, or do you think they find that smooth is just as well as the rhythm?
You know, it's just like different people like different types of music. It's the same thing in dance. Some people like all of it. And really enjoy doing all of it. Some just enjoy doing smooth. Some just enjoy doing the rhythm or the Latin. But, you know, everybody's a little different, you know.
In your studio, do you do a lot of group dances, and do you think they're more popular now than they have been in the past?
Right now, I'm an independent contractor, so I teach out of different studios. So right now, when I'm teaching in a studio, I'm just teaching private lessons. But I also teach group classes, like I said, for the city of Peoria. So I don't do group classes for studios. I do them for, the cities.
Now, with the group ones that you do you see an increase in attendance? Or has it just always been about the same?
Our classes were very big in the last year, yeah.
And that makes it harder, doesn't it, for you?
Well, it does, because they're all beginning level classes and they're people that generally aren't dancers, period. At least in a studio setting, people are there to learn dancing, so they kind of they've already got their mind geared towards being a dancer or becoming a dancer, say. And in the parks and recreation classes, these people are just kind of walking in going, well, I'm going to just try this. And they don't really have the thought process put into it. They're just kind of learning this foot goes there, this foot goes there, but they really don't have an idea of what it takes to become a dancer.
So you have,
to
kind of...
That's the main thing. We have fun.
Oh, you got to have fun.
Yeah.
So when you do this, do you enjoy teaching people that don't have that thought process to give them the thought process of being a dancer?
I do. You know, I've always told people watching somebody learn how to dance is kind of like watching a little baby, you know, where they just kind of lay on the floor and they can't even crawl. And each little knowledge, that little piece of knowledge that they start to get, you see them now starting to sit up, and then they're able to stand up, and then they can take their first steps. You know, you watch these people evolve right in front of you, and I really enjoy watching that process.
It is
a challenge to see what's going to work to make them understand what I'm trying to get across to them.
Right. How long does it really take you to really understand a student and the way their thought process works? Is it a couple lessons, or does it evolve over time?
For me, it's just a couple of lessons, I think. Yeah, I can usually pick up on that in a couple of lessons.
Do you think there's a lot of psychology used in dance as well?
Like we said earlier, you have to understand the motivating factors behind each person. You have to understand why they're there. And, sorry, I guess somebody's trying to call in. But why they want to learn how to dance, and what it's going to take to make them dance.
And what should be some of the motivating reasons
for
dance? I mean, what are some of the really compelling reasons that you've heard why people are learning to dance?
Well, one of the biggest things I hear, because being a male, I have mostly females coming in to take lessons, and one of the predominant things I hear all the time is, I've always loved to dance, and I married a man that doesn't dance. And then either he's passed away, or they've got divorced or something, and now this person is taking the time I always say you're investing in yourself.
Right.
And you're putting the time into yourself to enjoy life. And they said, this is something I've wanted to do all my life, and I've been held back. So now I'm doing it. And that's what I hear a lot.
And it's beautiful. For me, it's just, ever since I was a kid, I wanted to take lessons, and my parents said, no, we don't have time. We have too many other kids doing things. So I finally took the investment and said, you know, I'm older now. I can do what I want. I want to do ballroom dancing.
There you go.
It's fulfilling a childhood dream for me, and I'm
there
very glad that I did it.
And that's not a rare thing. I hear that a lot in dancing. Like I said, that's not an uncommon story. That somehow, where in their life they were held back, and they've always wanted to do it.
Yes, and it really has been quite an adventure for me. And I do appreciate the instructors at the Arizona Ballroom Company, because they really have, and I'm sure you do the same, it's like a big family.
Uh-huh.
I feel very comfortable down there. They know me now. And it's a family-run operation. And they're very,
voice.
I'm sorry?
I can hear it in your voice.
I get excited about it. I mean, it really has almost become an obsession, and I actually told them I need to back off a little bit because it's taking away from my work, and I got to earn money to pay for this.
Well, hey, I left engineering.
Yeah, the way things are going, I'm probably going to be leaving my job, too, at the rate I'm going. With that, I'll find some kind of passive income so I can do it full-time, because the dance really has fulfilled so much for me. In so many ways, and I've been blessed with some wonderful people coming into my life, and I really thank Arizona Ballroom Company for being who and what they are. It makes a huge difference for everyone, I think, and I do feel like I'm part of a family, which is wonderful. And I do think that dance is a great way of expressing yourself in a lot of different ways and finding out who you are. I think in many ways, it's almost a spiritual experience, because it just loosens up a lot of things in you that you didn't even know were in there. And
well, it stretches you to it. It makes you do things you didn't think you could do.
And it's just like, wow, I can really do this. And feel good about it. And self-confidence is a huge part of it. And I do think kids should learn it for the self-confidence and for the ethics and the morals. And it really just, it helps society. And I'm personally glad to see that it's on TV, because I'd rather watch somebody dance than somebody killing each other.
Exactly.
So it is a very positive way.
Right.
So coming up this weekend, today is September 11th. Tomorrow you start your competition at 9 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
What is the process? I mean, there's morning, afternoon, and evening, correct?
Correct.
And okay. So what's the difference between the different time zones, the different sessions?
Well, the different sessions are different styles of dance. Like we start out with the American Rhythm, your favorite, is on Friday morning till Friday late afternoon, like about 4:30 or 5. We'll go all the way through with the rhythm. And it starts with newcomers and goes all the way up to the open gold divisions. And it's all student teachers and student divisions dancing. And they're, like I said, they're dancing in different levels, different age groups. Then in the evening, we have a bunch of amateur events, which are students dancing together, as well as our professional rising star divisions. And the professional rising stars are newer professional couples that are just kind of getting started in the professional competing divisions. And then Saturday morning, we have our American Smooth divisions and our International Latin divisions. And then Saturday evenings, again, we have more professional divisions. And then on Sunday, we have our Country Western divisions and International Standard divisions and more professional divisions in the evening. So it's very exciting in terms of there's all different types of styles to see. But what you're seeing is just a bunch of people that have put a lot of time and effort into what they view as a hobby and something that they're looking to derive a lot of pleasure from.
And it really is, even though it's a hobby, it definitely is a passion.
Oh, yeah. You have to have feeling. It's like I tell students, when you go out on the floor to compete, you're not a dancer. You're performing. You've got to dance. You've got to act. You got to do everything out there. So it's not just going out there moving your feet around. You're performing.
And you're having fun doing it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like put on that character, put on that performance, and be somebody else while you're out there.
Exactly.
And if part of that kind of gets hooked in there all the time, all the better.
Uh-huh.
Well, we're coming to the end of the show, so I do want to remind people, if you would like to get more information about this Galaxy Dance competition that's coming up in the Phoenix area, it is September 12th through the 14th. There is the galaxy-dance.com, and I'm sure you'll probably be seeing Paul Jack all over the place because he's everywhere these days.
Not all weekend. It'll be at the Marriott Mesa, so it's very easy to get to. So hopefully you'll see people there from the show.
And it is very reasonable. They can go there and buy a day pass for each session, correct? It's very reasonable. And if you want to get all of it, the season pass is even better. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. I hope to introduce myself to you face-to-face when I come up.
Most definitely. Introduce yourself. I'd love to meet you.
Great. Well, thank you very much for being on air and discussing dance. And
I'm honored.
It's wonderful.
Thank you.
All right. And all right. Thank you very much. Next week, we have someone from Blessed Union of Souls. Elliot Sloan will be on to talk about his impressions and his inspirations for his songs. Plus, we will be hearing from their new album, Close to the Edge. This is Jennifer Hellman thanking you for listening tonight. And with each breath of air, we hope you gain new insights and inspirations. Many blessings and good night.